वासुदेवाय I'm reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 22, text number 15. The chapter is entitled Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras. Tadaham Krita Vishrambha.
Tadaham Krita Vishrambha.
Tadaham Krita Vishrambha. Suridovastapasvinam Sampriste bhavaitasmin Sampriste bhavaitasmin Kshemakkenanjana bhavet Kshemakkenanjasa bhavet Tadaham Krita Vishrambha Suridovastapasvinam Sampriste bhavaitasmin Kshemakkenanjasa bhavet Tadaham Krita Vishrambha Therefore, aham, I, Krita Vishrambha, being completely assured, Surida, friend, va, our, tapasvinam, suffering material pangs, sampritche, wish to inquire, bhave, in this material world, etasmin, this, kshema, ultimate reality, kena, by which means, anjasa, without delay, bhavet, can be achieved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friends for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. I therefore ask you how in this world, in this material world, we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. Please repeat. I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friends for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. I therefore ask you how, in this material world, we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. Report. When saintly persons go from door to door to see those who are too materially engaged, it is to be understood that they do not go to ask anything for a personal benefit. It is a fact that saintly persons go to materialists just to give real information of the auspicious. Maharaj Prithu was assured of this fact. Therefore, instead of wasting time by asking the Kumaras about their welfare, he preferred to inquire from them whether he could soon be relieved from the dangerous position of materialistic existence. This is not, however, a question personally for Prithu Maharaj. It was raised to teach the common man that whenever one meets a great saintly person, one should immediately surrender unto him and inquire about relief from the material pains of existence. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Sangsara Vishanale Dhiya Nija Diva Nisha Hiya Jhale Judayate Nakayana Upai. We are always suffering from material pains and our hearts are burning, but we cannot find any way out of it. The materialistic person can also be called a tapasvi, which means someone who is always suffering from material pains. One can get rid of all these material pains only when he takes shelter of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This is explained by Narottam Das Thakur. Golokya Premadana Harinam Sankirtana Ratina Janmila Kena Tai. Narottam Das Thakur regretted that he did not pursue his attraction for the transcendental vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra. The conclusion is that all persons in this material world are suffering from material pains, and if one wants to get rid of them, he must associate with saintly persons, pure devotees of the Lord, and chant the Maha mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the only auspicious way for materialistic persons. Om Ajnana Tiniram Dasya Jnanam Chana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurudev Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutare Sayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Shvapadam Jikam Ugam Guru Divachalam Pankam Nagayate Girim Yadhivatam Aham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatalam. Translation again. I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friends for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. I therefore ask you how in this material world we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. So, first of all, I'd like to thank all devotees for coming this morning. It's a great honor to be in the presence of so many very nice devotees. I've not been to Mayapur here for a number of years. It's been about 6 years, I think, the last time I came, 5-6 years. And it's nice to see how, it's really inspiring to see how things are going on so nicely, and the devotees are so enthusiastic. It's something that hopefully all of you will go to other places and share it. So it's very nice to be here. Can you hear me? My wife tells me always that I don't speak very loud, or that I don't hear very well either. So, we're reading here how Prithu Maharaj, after receiving the Kumaras and offering them proper respects, is now beginning to inquire from him. And he begins his inquiry here by first stating, the translation is very, this verse is really incredible. He begins first by stating how he's completely assured in their association. And this is very important in any relationship, or to speak of a spiritual relationship, but in any relationship, there has to be a certain degree of confidence and comfort and assurance, as Maharaj Prithu is pointing out here. After studying them very carefully and understanding their exalted positions, he felt very comfortable in speaking to them and inquiring some very important subject matter. And again, this is something that's very important in any relationship, whether it be guru-disciple or teacher-student or parent and child. There has to be a certain level of love and trust there. And one has to feel the freedom to speak. It's important. Otherwise, how can we really address serious issues unless there's a real openness there? One has to be free to ask questions, which are sometimes very critical. So, Prithu Maharaj here, he's feeling that comfort in the association of the four Kumaras. And again, this is something that is important, because when the comfort level is there, then intelligent questions are asked, and those questions can benefit not only the immediate conversation, but all others, as Srila Prabhupada points out here later on in the purport. Prithu Maharaj, he didn't waste any time. This is also an important point. By asking the Kumaras about their welfare, sometimes the in our light conversations, we may ask, how's the weather, or how are you doing, etc. But this is a very important discussion that's being brought out here in the pages of the Bhagavatam. And that is that, what is the ultimate goal of life? And this is something that concerns all individuals, not just Prithu Maharaj or the Kumaras, but all others, as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport. And especially for those who are blazing, as the purport or as the translation points out, blazing in the fire of material existence. There's no doubt. Is that a famous song? As the translation points out, we're all blazing in the fire of material existence. And if we want to get out of it, there's certain important questions and issues that have to be addressed. Because it's not easy to get out of this material entanglement. And therefore, the conversation has to be very serious. It has to be right to the point, as Prithu Maharaj is trying to do here. He's getting right to the crux of the matter. Why are we burning in this material world, and how do we get out of it? And it's not like if you were in a fire that you ask, what time is it, or what's to eat? No. The immediate problem is, how do we get out of this? And the solution is being given here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, that when saintly persons travel from door to door, their purpose is to enlighten those who are struggling in this material world. And time is of the essence. As Srila Prabhupada points out here also, Prithu Maharaj is pointing out that we can very, how is it that we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life? And again, time is of the essence. For the devotee, is described avyartha kalatvam, that we don't want to waste a moment in anything outside of Krishna consciousness. We want to, because in a moment, one's life can change. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Maharaj Kadvanga, who in a moment had to make a decision. We don't know when that moment may come. On the way here from the airport to Mayapur, just a few minutes ahead of us, along the road, there was a big head-on collision, and it was quite serious. I'm sure that there may have been some survivors, but it was quite serious. So we don't know when that moment may come upon us. Krishna tvadiya para pankaja vanjarantam king Kulu Chekar praise that may the swan of my mind become immediately entangled in the stem of the lotus of your or in the stems of your lotus feet, because again we don't know when that moment may come. One has to be very serious, very fixed at any moment. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj is asking a very direct question. He's not asking about some material welfare, but he's asking how can we get out of this material existence, and soon, and what is the ultimate goal of life? Just as Sanatana Goswami, when he approached Lord Chaitanya and he asked, Ke ami, who am I? This is a big dilemma, because generally we're, as soon as we're, say our name is called, we're immediately thinking that, oh, it's me. I'm the speaker, or I'm the artist, or I'm the cook, or I'm the parent. These are all misconceptions. Actually, this is not the real me. This is not the real problem. The problem is, kene amai jhare tapatrai? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries? Why are we having to go through all of these struggles daily? And if I don't know that, then how am I really benefited? It's like so many people there, they may be very comfortable in their position, or maybe not even very comfortable, but they're absorbed in needing to create some material facility. But that's not our real problem. That shouldn't be our real concern. Our real concern should be, how do we develop love for the personality of Godhead? And for that reason, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, these saintly persons go from door to door to see those who are too materially engaged. And they don't go there with the intent of some personal benefit. Naivo dvijay paradaratara vaitaranyas, Prahlad Maharaj describes that he's not at all afraid. First of all, he's addressing the greatest of all personalities, and there's no doubt the Supreme Lord is the greatest of all personalities. He says that himself throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, aham adihi devanam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Person. And if we don't accept that, then we just have to study his activities. Everything that Krishna does is superhuman. It's extraordinary. And if that's not enough, then we can consult the authorities. Narada Vyas, Devala, Asita, so many great personalities, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. They've established who the greatest personality is, and that's Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. So, the devotees are praying to the Supreme Lord that, my dear Lord, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. And of course, material existence is quite a... To say something like that, that I have no fear, is quite bold. Because generally people are very fearful. They're fearful that I may not pass the grade, or I may not get my position. Just like in America, for instance, there are so many Indians, East Indians, who come to America, and they're so preoccupied, they're so absorbed in trying to get a position and money that they sometimes, unfortunately, they lose sight of even coming to their roots of Krishna consciousness. It's not so prevalent here, because we're surrounded in so many wonderful ways. We're sheltered here. Just, I was just this morning, when we were after Mangalartika, we went into Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi, and I was chanting japa. And when I was, I began to think about this verse, and this verse applies so much to Srila Prabhupada that this is, it's directly addressing him, practically speaking, that I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friend for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. There's no doubt that Srila Prabhupada has made a wonderful arrangement And I was thinking to myself that I don't want to leave that. I don't want to go back out into the material realm. Of course, as soon as I left the samadhi, again, I felt the modes sink in. But it's unfortunate that we sometimes become too preoccupied with the material world. So it's a very fearful place. But for the pure devotees, they're not disturbed by those such things. Vaitaranyas, the river of material life, material existence, because it's a very dangerous place. As we were hearing the other day, Maharaj was pointing out how even now the internet, it's a dangerous place. So there's no doubt that it's a very dangerous place, and sometimes we're not aware of it, and we get entangled, trapped. Therefore, the exalted personalities have to come and pull us out of that nightmare. Narayana Paraksarve, the devotees of the Lord, Narayana Parayanas, they're not at all afraid of going into that nightmare of existence and pulling out the devotees, or those who are potential devotees at least, pulling out those who are struggling. Why? It's because they're constantly absorbed in thoughts of the glories and activities of the personality of Godhead. The glories and activities of the Lord are so attractive that there's no other thoughts. Just like when you're here in Mayapur, it's so easy, it's so much easier to be Krishna conscious. You're surrounded by so many wonderful sounds and sensual experiences and vibrations. It's so much easier. So in that association, one can stay fixed, there's no doubt. The devotees of the exalted personalities, the pure devotees of the Lord are absorbed in those glories and those thoughts. Therefore, they have no fear, but their only anxiety, their only concern is for those who are making elaborate plans to enjoy in this material world. Therefore, they take all sorts of risks in going out and trying to approach the conditioned souls. As Srila Prabhupada points out here, it is a fact that saintly persons go to materialists just to give real information of the auspicious. As we were hearing nicely yesterday, real auspiciousness means that which is in connection with personality of Godhead. And Prithu Maharaj was assured of this fact. Therefore, instead of wasting time and asking some general question, he got right to the point. And the point is that how do we get relief from this dangerous position of material existence? It's a very dangerous predicament. And that sort of question has to be addressed by all persons. And the best way to do that is in the association of devotees. Satam prasangam mamadhir yasangvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha. When we're together and we're discussing Krishna consciousness, a Krishna conscious subject matter, it becomes very enlivening and very purifying. And by that association, the attraction for material life, it gradually dissipates, and we become fixed, and then devotional service begins. So that association is so important. Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Prabhupada points out here, prays that we are always suffering from material pangs and our hearts are burning, but we cannot find any way out of it. It's just like one of those little Chinese finger toys. And you stick your finger in there, and if you pull it out, you get stuck. You ever see those? I used to grow up with those. And the harder you struggle, the tighter it gets. So material life is like that. The more we try to make arrangements, the more we struggle with it, the tighter it gets. So the way to loosen it is by association. Is by, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, chanting the holy names in the association of the devotees. So the devotees of the Lord are concerned for such persons who are making all of these arrangements, maintaining their families, their societies, their countries. We're thinking of all day about how to build a house, how to make money, how to do this. These are all so secondary. Of course, even in devotional life, sometimes we have to address these issues, but we don't make them primary. They're not our real aim. Of course, we can try to create some nice facility in order to facilitate our Krishna consciousness. That's okay. Just like here, we have a very nice facility. In Los Angeles also, we have a very nice facility, and it's there to facilitate Krishna consciousness. But we don't become obsessed by it. Like the materialists, they're totally absorbed. Working like anything, for what? I remember one time talking to one businessman, and we were distributing some books in the airport. And as I was talking with this fellow, he was falling asleep on his feet. I mean, the conversation wasn't that boring, I hope. But he was falling asleep as we were talking. And I asked him, what is he doing? He's just coming back from his second job. And he was flying someplace. So this is material life. We don't want to wallow in that situation. So the devotees of the Lord, out of love, it's not out of selfishness or for their own glory, but it's out of love and concern that they try and approach the conditioned souls. And some or other pull them out of their condition. And this is again, as Srila Prabhupada points out, it's not for their personal benefit, but it's for the benefit of the conditioned souls. And they give themselves to such persons to try to encourage them in devotional life. I remember when Srila Prabhupada was giving me my Brahman thread, my second initiation, and I was struggling, trying to figure out the finger movements. Many devotees, I'm sure, had this experience. And I was so nervous in front of Srila Prabhupada, I couldn't figure out how to do it. I just, all of a sudden, my fingers were not operating correctly. So Prabhupada showed me how to do it, and I tried to do it also. I tried to imitate it, and he said no. And he said, do it again. So I tried it again, and he said no. And I could have swore that I did it right, but again, I tried to catch myself. No, okay, it was wrong. And then he looked at me and said in such a nice, kind way, and just like a father would to his son, he said, "How can I teach you if you can't remember?" And he said it in such a loving way, I just wanted to melt. And but my next thought was, I don't want to disappoint him. So I quickly did it again on my hand, and then he smiled and said, "Okay, very good." And then he took the Brahmin thread and he just sort of flipped it in the air and it went over me. So the devotees, like, again, this verse was so, it meant so much to me in relation to Srila Prabhupada, that the devotees of the Lord are taking all risk for the benefit of the suffering conditioned souls who are, as is described in the verse here, are blazing in the fire of material existence. And the remedy, as is described here, is chanting the holy names. Kali Yuga Yuga Dharma Namara Prachar. The Lord has been so kind that he's come in this Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma Namara Prachar. He's come to present the holy name. Tattai Lagi Pita Varna Chaitanya Avatar. The Lord has kindly come in this wonderful form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread the glories of the holy name. That is the remedy for the suffering in this material world. And there's no other solution. It's not by creating some giant phantasmagoria of material life, some nice material arrangement, because all of these things, in time, they disappear. What is that saying? Time and tide wait for no one. It's just like if you go to the ocean and you're building this very nice castle in the sand, and the tide is coming in, you can't hope to go out there and say, "Oh, my dear tide, stop. I have some things I need to finish first. Don't come in." No. The tide comes and it washes everything away. So in due course of time, everything is taken away. Therefore, we shouldn't waste our time, because we don't know what will happen next. Padam padam vipadam natesham. Every step in this material world is fraught full of danger. And the alternative is to take shelter of the holy name, take shelter of Krishna consciousness, and as Prabhupada writes here, that is the only auspicious way. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, please.
You were just, Prabhupada in the purport describes the selflessness of the preacher. But ultimately, there's we understand from the last chapter of Gita how if one preaches the Krishna's glories to the devotees, then this is the way that, you know, he can please him the most.
Yes.
So ultimately, I guess it can be in the back of one's mind that this is the best thing for me too. You know, I mean, because, you know, that's the motivation that a devotee should have, you know, is what is the most pleasing to Krishna. And so Krishna,
that person becomes very dear. Yaidam paramam guyam.
Yeah.
Becomes very dear.
There's no one more dear to me than he, nor would there be one more dear. So in one sense, it's not a materially motivated function, but it's quite motivated on a devotional platform to give Krishna the most pleasure. And so Prabhupada's basically speaking, you know, about material motivation of going to someone, wanting something in return. But ultimately a devotee, you know, he's wanting to give the optimum amount of pleasure to Krishna, and that's in his best interest. But the more he can help people come out of the threefold miseries, then that's all the more benefit he receives. And you know, it's a cyclical.
That person becomes glorified, and Srila Prabhupada is that practical example in our lifetime, that by his sacrifice and by his determination to distribute Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world, he's become glorified more than ever. And daily it increases. People daily they appreciate the facility that he's created. I mean, just here in Mayapur, you're seeing thousands and thousands of people. They come every day. And it's all by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And it's just, it's astounding. It is really astounding. When you come from outside and you come into this beautiful setting, it's just astounding what's been created. And it's all, again, Krishna reciprocating with the selfless, the sacrifice that Srila Prabhupada and all of you are making. It's really glorious. And it's something that everyone needs. The whole world needs it like anything. Any other questions or comments? Yes, please.
Thank you for sharing your realizations and last times with Srila Prabhupada. I would like to ask you if you would like to share some more of your interactions with Srila Prabhupada that you had in your life.
You know, I never had that. I had some different experiences, not that many, there's many, some devotees here have had a lot more, but one of my favorite experiences was in New Vrindavan. We were traveling around the country at the time with the Radha Damodar party. This also, Mayapur brings some memories. Also with Radha Damodar party, when Vishnu John Swami was here, when he I guess left his body, we don't know for certain, but Srila Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, and we were traveling. We happened to come there also, and at the time the devotees were still in the old farm, original farm. And Prabhupada was in one house next door, and he would stay there with Kirtananda. And every morning, Srila Prabhupada would come to the temple and give Bhagavatam class, which was just a 2-minute walk. It was quite a challenge to try and get into the temple room, because the temple room was, I don't think it was as, it might have been as big as between the two pillars here to here, and maybe smaller, with a low ceiling. It was just a little farmhouse, but the place would, but it would just get packed out with couple hundred devotees. They were just packed like sardines in a can. It was so blissful. And right after Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada would go out and see the cows, or he would, this particular morning, which was a little bit rainy, New Vrindavan's, every time we went there, it seemed to rain a lot. But anyway, this morning, this particular morning, it was quite rainy, and Prabhupada was going up to the hill where the Brahmachari farm was at, Brahmachari house. There were some very beautiful deities there, Gorni Thai. And Prabhupada got out, came out of the house, and got into a little four-wheel jeep with Kirtanananda, and as they were driving up the hill, it got muddier and muddier. Because it rained, it got really muddy, and it was hilarious. There, all these brahmacharis, there were about 100 of us at the time, the Radha-Damodar party. So we were running after the vehicle. And you can imagine the tires were flinging mud, and the devotees were running, and they had flip-flops on, and they were losing their shoes, and some devotees were falling in the mud. And at one point, the jeep stopped, and Prabhupada turned around and just started laughing at this scene. And finally, he gets up to the top of the hill. And as soon as he stepped out of the vehicle and walked a few steps out of nowhere, came Bhumi, who was the first original cow in Vrindavan. Her name was Bhumi. She appeared out of nowhere, practically. It's a little mysterious. She came right out of the trees, and she greeted Prabhupada, and Prabhupada patted her on the head, and they walked together up to the farmhouse. It was so cute. It was transcendental. And when Prabhupada got into the temple, he gave a I don't remember the class, but it was very, it was nice just to be there. And Prabhupada, after speaking, motioned for the deity plates to come off the altar. So they brought the deity's plates to him and sat it down in front of him. And then he began to eat right off the deity's plates. And he took one gulab jamun, and he looked at it and sort of inspected it for a moment, took a bite out of it. And I was standing right here. I must have been 2 feet away from him. And I stuck my hand out. So Prabhupada just put it in my hand. And I didn't waste any time. I just ate it immediately. And then all of a sudden, so many devotees, of course by then, so many devotees were crowding around. And then just very casually, Srila Prabhupada was eating the different preparations. And it was so blissful to watch him. He would take his hot milk with a spoon, and he would sip it, and again he would take a spoon of milk, and I stuck out my hand, and Prabhupada gave me a little spoon of his milk. Anyway, that was just one of the experiences. It was very, Prabhupada was so merciful. I have a question here. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada said just to give real information, but some devotees go to Sankirtan and said another thing like for welfare, for well-being, for health. They don't say we are not this body. We are servants of God. God exists. Can you give a comment? Well, sometimes in the course of preaching we have to speak in such a way as to please the conditioned souls, right? So actually giving them these transcendental books is the highest welfare work, and it is for their well-being, and it is for good health. We can see it practically. It's exhibited in the Krishna consciousness movement. Just like when you come to a beautiful place like Mayapur, people are living very nicely. Their health is certainly a healthy scene. There's no better place in terms of a well-being. You're surrounded by Krishna consciousness in every way. So it's a fact. These books that we're giving the conditioned souls is to their highest welfare and well-being and health. But we can also say we are not this body, certainly. And we are servants of God. God exists. For those who want to hear more, we give them more. But that takes some experience. An experienced preacher knows how to present it in such a way that the conditioned souls will listen, and then and as you feel that they're listening more, you can give them more. Does that make sense? Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.